The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hey everyone, this is Russell Cox, editor of the Municipal Association's Uptown publication. Today we are welcoming back to the podcast, we have with us Association Executive Director Todd Glover. Todd, how are you?
Doing well, Russell. It's hard to believe it's been a year.
Oh my gosh, yes. Does the time fly? And annual meeting is rapidly closing in upon us. We also have with us Chief Operating Officer Jake Broom. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Glad to have you back. We are here to talk about the 2023 annual meeting of the Municipal Association. It's happening. We are returning to Greenville this year, July 27th through 29th. And we were, for the annual meeting, in Greenville last in 2019. And I was thinking about that in terms of the mobile tour during the pre-conference sessions. We call it the pre-cons, we call them. A mobile tour of Greenville. And we are going, that group is going this time to Unity Park, which
was just a drawing the last time we were there, right?
I think Mayor Knox White was showing us renderings when he spoke at the 2019 session. And I have been to it back in January, and even on a cold day in January, absolutely packed out in that. My goodness, that park is quite something.
It's well done. I know we have some staff members who live in Greenville and frequent there, and I see it on social media a lot. There's, of course, Greenville does a lot of things well, so we knew that it was going to be very well done. But a great example of what can be done with community spaces.
Absolutely. So, Todd, the big push, one of the big pushes during the 2022 annual meeting in Charleston is we rolled out a lot of our civility initiative. I remember in Charleston having the entire group deliver the civility pledge, and that has continued as a major focus of everything that we've been doing ever since then. And we've got Chris Singleton as a keynote speaker this year. So could you talk some about the focus on civility?
Yeah, we're the civility initiative. The biggest thing about it is that it's you can't just pay it lip service. You can't do it one time, pass it, and stick it on a shelf. It has to be something that's it's like dieting. It has to become a lifestyle, or it's not going to stick. You might have some short term gains in your diet, but if you don't change things, you're not going to see the long term life changes. And so really our civility initiative is the same way. And so we're continuing that focus, and we will for the foreseeable future. Chris Singleton has an amazing story. His mother was one of the victims in the Mother Emanuel church shooting. And so this is going to be a powerful story. This is going to be an emotional one, but it's an important story to tell. And we have folks who are to the extremes, and I'm not saying it's on the right and the left, and we need to highlight the dangers of that. And I think his very powerful emotional story is going to be one that people are going to be interested in hearing.
I spoke to him briefly for the preview in Uptown and got a sense of that message he is delivering at so many audiences now. Love is more powerful than hate, and yes, it is going to be quite something. We're kind of looking our way down the agenda for the annual meeting. For those of you who are going to be going, thinking about going, we will, as always, have a review of the legislative session past first year of the 2 year session. And for those of you who listen to Scott and Casey on here every week for From the Dome to Your Home, I will not belabor that point. We have one of the general sessions, and I believe it's going to be of great interest to the membership, welcoming the world to your town. So the trial, the murder trial that received so much attention early this year in Walterboro, and how the city government there handled all aspects of it, because, I mean, first of all, they were on the national stage and
world stage,
huge influx of visitors to the trial, mm-hmm. huge influx of members of the media, and the increased service demands, just keeping everything straight during all of that. We saw a while back at South Carolina PRSA, we saw not just City Manager Jeff Molinari and Scott Grooms, who is Director of Tourism and Downtown Development in Walterboro. We also saw Mayor Bill Young, and we did hear from him. He was among the members of the public watching the trial, and he was identified in the media as novelist John Grisham.
Right.
And people were looking to take pictures with him and get his autograph, and he was very clear that he was not John Grisham.
Well, it's an amazing story. What's Walterboro's population? 5,000? A little over 5,000? And truly were on a world stage. Mm-hmm. Hundreds, if not thousands, of transient people for what's arguably the trial of the century in our state. Mm-hmm. National attention daily. And it was weeks of proceedings there. I had several friends, I think we probably all did, that were tracking every piece of information they could find about it. It was podcasts or reading every newspaper, reading things online. I think Bill's daughter actually was involved. She had like a daily court recap. And
I'm not sure I knew about that one.
And Bill's son is actually an attorney in the upstate. Mm-hmm. And I think he was on a couple of news talk shows as well. And so it really, really was something that was an amazing thing to hear about mm-hmm. when you think about a town that small that really hosted the world for several months.
And of course, in that case, it was for a deeply unfortunate reason. And sometimes when that happens to any one of our cities and towns, it could be for a sad and unfortunate reason. Sometimes it happens for good reasons, too. It's...
Well, I think Bill's quick to point out it did not happen in Walterboro. That's just where the trial was.
Walterboro is where justice was served.
That's right. Yes, the home of justice.
I would say two things at the end of that trial were universally respected and beloved. And the first is Judge Clifton Newman, and the second is the city of Walterboro. I think all the live shots from CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and Court TV, they had these beautiful downtown shots, and you kept seeing on social media, people were blown away by how nice the city looked and how nice mm-hmm. the courthouse was. And the reporters said that they got incredible hospitality. And so I think they did a great job of turning that into a positive for the city.
Yes. And like you say, it's not under the best of circumstances, mm-hmm. but there's a monetary value to the city's name being repeated over mm-hmm. and over and over. You remember the Masters a few years ago were Tiger's ball just for a split second, just kind of hovered over the edge of the hole and then fell in.
Mm-hmm.
But his Nike logo was seen the world over as on that ball.
Because it was in the right spot as it teetered on
the
edge.
And I forget what it was. He's the golfer, but I want to say they said the market exposure for that was in the billions of dollars value-wise. In mm-hmm. other words, for Nike to have that type of exposure to pay for it. And if you think about Walterboro, as Jake said, the pictures, the scenic background mm-hmm. of the reporters, the great stories that came out about the hospitality of the folks in Walterboro. You can't put a price tag on that. And, of course, we know it. The locals know it. Mm-hmm. But the world knows it now.
Yeah, they turned a challenge into an opportunity and did a great job with it.
It was quite something.
But a lot of great sessions mm-hmm. at this. One I'm particularly excited about is a roundtable session based upon population.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, we set the agenda for annual meeting months in advance. And we're working to bring forth topics that we think are topical, are the things that are facing our cities on a daily basis. But I think this is going to give the attendees the opportunity for, really, it's attendee-driven
mm-hmm.
subject matter. And so there could be things that are occurring that have happened, something, you know, breaking news that, mm-hmm. that is affecting our cities that's happened since we established the agenda. It could be that a group of our smallest towns have items that they want to discuss. And so what I think is going to be great about this is that we're going to basically say, look, talk for a few minutes around your tables, come up with the issues that you think are the on the forefront, and then address maybe four or five of the most common ones in the room. And, you know, that's user-driven content, mm-hmm. and I think that's going to be really beneficial. And we know that part of one of the biggest benefits of attending a conference is the networking anyway,
yes.
and finding out how someone else addressed a problem or an issue. And so I think that's going to be a great session.
And that one, I believe, is going to split in terms of population sizes into generally small, medium, and large.
Yes. And, of course, we're not going to sit at the door and deny somebody membership if we have a small city that thinks they're a large city. But it's going to be, you know, more so into – because we really do have some cities and towns that throughout the state that maybe have a smaller population but operate mm-hmm. as a larger city because of the metro area that they're in, or they may have more complex services than – a town, a more rural town with the same population. So we're going to let them choose which session mm-hmm. They go into, but that'll be interesting to see how they respond to those. We'll have a session on affordable housing. I know mm-hmm. that's something that's been a big issue. So we're going to have the Federal Home Loan Bank out of Atlanta. They'll be there to discuss some of their programs. Of course, police is always going to be an issue, police issues that we have, whether it's hiring or firing or any of the liability issues that occur. So that's always going to be a big topic.
Implementation of Act 218, the yes. law enforcement mm-hmm. betterment, essentially the one that required both standardization of practices and use of specific policies that they have to implement. We have one in the concurrent sessions where you can pick one of two at any particular hour during the agenda. We have one engaging the next generation of local leaders, going to hear about youth engagement programs. Greenwood Mayor is going to be there, Brandon Smith, Hardeeville Mayor, Harry Williams, Inman Mayor, Cornelius Huff, Mayor Huff's Youth Council, mm-hmm. who were at Hometown Legislative Action Day
for the last couple of years.
They've been profiled in Uptown. I think some of them are going to be there at the session. That's going to be okay. exciting.
We really need that youth mm-hmm. civic engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the civility campaign is cognizant of the fact that the lack of civility now is turning off newer generations to either running for local office or choosing a local city administration or working there mm-hmm. as a profession. And so I think the earlier we can get involved, show that civic engagement, get them involved and interested, that's going to pay dividends down the road for our future mayors, city council members, and city managers.
Mm-hmm. Seed planting. It is by virtue of the fact that the Main Street South Carolina, the grassroots downtown development program housed within the Municipal Association, has existed in one form or another since 1983. This is the 40th year.
Main Street is older than Jake. Let's just throw that out.
That's right. I'm in my 39th year.
So,
so
our Main Street program is literally older than our COO.
Many of the Main Street South Carolina directors are actually in the building as we record this. They're having a policies and procedures training right now, and I saw some of them downstairs. We're going to have people talking about Main Street success stories from Sherrall, from Fountain Inn, from Georgetown, downtown Florence, my hometown. They won the Great American Main Street Award this year, national award, second in South Carolina history. Greenville won it in 2003, and now Florence has won it in 2023. So
I had the pleasure of being over at the State House a couple of weeks ago when they were recognized by the legislature for that. That's an incredible accomplishment.
It truly is, and they have done amazing things. One to talk about with Jake, so Retail Development Checklist is the name of the session. We are going to be hearing from the retail coach there, who the association partnered with for the retail recruitment training that we have done.
That's right. The retail coach, they are experts at helping cities and towns do what they need to do to attract restaurants, retail, what I call quality of life, economic development. So it's not big industry. It's not jobs. That's not for everyone, especially our smaller cities and towns. It may not be possible for them to do that. But everybody wants a coffee shop or a nice restaurant or a place to – I've had some folks tell me, I just want a place I can buy socks in town without having to drive to Walmart 40 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So in that session, you'll get kind of a baseline checklist of must-dos, things you should be doing or things you should have done to start to recruit those quality-of-life economic development projects. And it's a good introduction to the retail recruitment program as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the retail coach as a company. I think you'll like them as presenters. They're very professional and knowledgeable, and they should have a Q&A portion at the end of their presentation. So it's a chance for you to ask them some questions for free. So please take advantage of that as well.
One of the participants in the program has been Greenwood, and actually right before walking into here, I was going over the feature story that's going to be in the July Uptown. It's going to be the economic development issue. Greenwood has done amazing things with it. They decided in Greenwood, the downtown is called Uptown. They decided they wanted to really focus on the corridor between that Central Business District and Landry University. And they have, I was reading it just now, they landed an Eggs Up Grill. Mm-hmm. They landed a Chipotle and a Starbucks. And I lived in Greenwood at one time. Those would have been amazing things. Yeah.
Yeah, they're big, business license revenue, hospitality tax revenue. It can have a huge impact on the city financially, but also on its residents' quality of life. It'll start attracting and retaining younger people that want to live there that won't move somewhere unless there's a Chipotle or a Starbucks or whatever. That's a real thing that people make those decisions. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds crazy for us, but if you get a Starbucks or a Chipotle, that makes you an option for a whole new group of people.
Mm-hmm. So. And the economic impact it has from a hospitality tax standpoint to the city that allows them to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that compounding effect that you're keeping more dollars in your city, and that makes more dollars available to do future projects. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a lot of momentum. They've done a great job. And I know they actually were very kind and gave us a shout out on their social media.
Thank you, Greenwood.
Yeah. And they have been a great participant, hungry for that knowledge. Mm-hmm. They've actually approached us. I think they were the ones that asked Jake about, do we have a second level? We created that second class, kind of like we have MEO. Once you go through MEO, you do advanced MEO.
Advanced retail recruitment.
So that is something we're looking at for the future.
And I saw Laura Hudson, who handles economic development there in Greenwood, one of the people who does, and the enthusiasm she had in her presentation, just absolutely palpable. Riley Mayer's Design Fellowship. This is one I don't know as much about. Mm-hmm. I understand we're going to be hearing from Lawrence Mayer, Nathan Sin, West Pelzer Mayer, Blake Sanders. In his orange sport coat, he does work for Clemson.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. that we're going to be hearing about projects they have been involved in. That's one I don't know as much about, so I'll be very interested in that one.
That's a great program. I think I'm correct in saying that we're the only state in the country that has this design fellowship. Used to be on a national scale, then it just kind of went away. And so Mayor Riley is rightly so very famous for placemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever read his book, The Mayor, he talks about his attention to detail. Mm-hmm. You know, when he'd walk out on the sidewalks and he'd look at streetlights and planters and benches and sidewalks. And that's what the Riley Mayors Design Fellowship does, is it takes 4, 5, 6 mayors from the state. And it's a couple of days where those cities and towns are presenting projects. We have people from College of Charleston, Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
You have architects involved and planners, and they're providing input and feedback on those projects and how can they get those projects accomplished. And of course, you have other cities and towns there that you're learning from. How do they finance theirs? How did they afford it? How did they make it happen? How did they involve the citizens to bring that project to fruition? So that's going to be a really good session. And certainly the cities and towns that have not gone through the design fellowship, it'd be something for them to attend and see the benefits of it.
One of the sessions it's actually on what we're doing right now, podcasting. So there has been a huge amount of interest and success in podcasting as a format for cities and towns getting information out to residents and businesses conversationally, as we are mm-hmm. doing here, ways that you cannot do it otherwise. I would hate to even try to name how many cities we have doing podcasts. Now, I can say the other day for the first time, I listened to the one out of Somerville for the first time. Yeah. Chris Mikowski is now there as the communications guy, and shout out to Chris. They're doing good stuff there. But we have gotten traction, the Municipal Association, especially with our legislative podcast, From the Dome to Your Home. Scott Slatton, Casey Fields. Casey calls herself the talent on the podcast. I, as the producer, am merely managing the talent to people come out to listen. So we thought, in terms of showing what it looks like and how easy it is to do, really, that we would do a live podcast recording at the annual meeting. Casey has always wanted a call-in show. Scott has always said no. So this is like a crowning achievement for Casey, that she's going to hopefully have a crowd in front. She's going to be filmed in front of a live studio audience. She is beyond excited.
Well, I always tease them and say that their podcast has gone bacterial. Not viral, but bacterial.
Well, my office is directly beside Scott's, and Casey's office is beside Scott's. So every day for me is a live recording of the From the Dome to Your Home podcast. So it is always
down the hall.
Exactly. Yeah. It is always entertaining. You may learn something. You will laugh, and you'll enjoy it.
Which, by the way, I should take this opportunity to promote my new podcast.
Oh yes,
where I'll be talking to cities and towns about just important events that are mm-hmm. happening there. It's not not from like the Dome to Your Home, where we're actually providing information about what's going on in the legislature. This will be just human event interest stories. My first one will be coming up with Mayor Stephen Murray out mm-hmm. of Beaufort, and about his efforts to raise money in the Ukraine
mm-hmm.
and for Ukraine. And
kind of developed a partner or a sister yeah. city, so to speak, in Ukraine.
But that's going to be a series that I'm excited to offer. And we'll put it up and see if I can become the talent as well.
Have you finalized a name for?
I have not. I think the Toddcast was copyrighted, so we've got to come up with something else.
Well, really, one other thing I want to talk about for annual meeting is the HGAC buy demos. And that, Jake, that is that is your realm.
Sure. HGAC Buy, that's the Houston Galveston Area Council. It's a cooperative purchasing program out of Houston, Texas, and we have partnered with them on City Connect Market, which is our cooperative purchasing program. They will be at the annual meeting doing short sessions similar to VC3's Tech Talk. Mm-hmm. Each session will highlight one of their contracts. So if you're unfamiliar with cooperative purchasing, the general idea is someone bids out a contract for a product or service nationwide, and you should get a better price because instead of, you know, say you're a town trying to buy two fire trucks, they know that they're bidding on 2,000 fire trucks. Mm-hmm. So each session will focus on a contract where you can learn more about specific products or services that they procure on your behalf. Attend those, ask questions. The staff is excited to come to Greenville. They've never been. They're from Texas. I've told them Greenville's amazing, and they're excited about seeing it and meeting you all. They enjoyed Charleston last year, but now that they've been to our annual meeting, I think they have a better idea of what to expect, and they can make those sessions even more valuable.
So we have been, City Connect Market, we've been doing it for about, what, year and a half, 2 years?
I think it'll be 2 years in July. Mm-hmm.
So in all that time, what new have you learned about procurement?
I guess I did not realize how many people use temporary staffing. Mm-hmm. That's a big one that we have a lot of folks who contract with companies that have contracts with HGAC Buy for temporary finance help. I know that's something we need a lot of in our smaller cities and towns. And there are folks out there who are full-time temps, essentially. That's what they do. They travel around helping out finance departments, public works departments, receptionists, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. And that's a contract I would not have realized existed that's utilized much more heavily than you would think in South Carolina.
That makes sense. The same day as the beginning of the annual meeting, July 27th, we are going to be having the Small City Summit that day. And for those who are interested in that, we are going to, first time the association is doing it, going to have an entire episode on that we are about to record. It'll be the next one after this. So definitely stay tuned for those who are interested in that. To close out on the annual meeting, I will make note, the information is all on the association website, www.masc.se. You can search for annual meeting. There's also a button right on the front page for it. So the deadline to apply for a registration appointment is May 30th. The drawing will take place June 1st. The online appointments for registrations will be June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Deadline to reserve a hotel room, July 3rd, and the registration deadline for the annual meeting itself, July 13th. Any final thoughts on the annual meeting?
No, just looking forward to being back in Greenville. Last time we were there, I was a city administrator, and North Augusta actually won the Riley Economic Development Award, so Greenville has a special place in my heart as far as the annual meeting for there. And we're still on the quest for flaming desserts, if Ken Ivey is listening. And so that is something that has been a particular goal of mine.
What was it you saw that got set on fire that had you thinking about this?
Donuts.
Flaming donuts.
You know, anytime you can add a little liqueur and butter and donut into a frying pan, that's a good day. And so I've tried to bring that to our sessions. We had it briefly in Charleston, briefly. And
Fire Marshal shut us
down.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was Fire Marshal or lack of execution or something. I don't know. But we're on a continued quest. Maybe we'll start a podcast series on our quest for flaming donuts at our meetings. And but no, it'll be a great session. Let me address this, actually, on a podcast. I actually had this question at an Association of Mayors event, and I think it's a good question. We used to have the dinner at our annual meetings, and we'd have either a band or something like that. And, and somebody asked me, they said, well, I miss that. I sure would like to go back to that. And we explained that coffee, cake, and cocktails, while we like the concept too, it's really being done in a cost consciousness. The cost of producing these conferences is extreme. The fees that we pay to mm-hmm. our host hotels, I mean, a can of Coke is $7. And
I did hear that the mayor of Hartsville, Casey Hancock, who brews beer, yes. is willing to get you a $5 beer instead of yeah.
That's very true. But you know, when you're having these breaks and they're a $7 can of Coke, and you know your cookies are $3 a piece, the dinner and that entertainment was really beginning to cause the registration fee to get to a point, in addition to having to stay at the hotel for a few days, was really getting to a point where we were concerned that some of our cities and towns could not afford mm-hmm. to attend the conference. And so our goal and our emphasis is to make sure that it's inclusive and that everyone can attend. Mm-hmm. So I know that's been a question that people have asked. Mm-hmm. I like the coffee, cake, and cocktails event. To me, it's fun. I mean, if you're in a city like Greenville or Charleston, go out and experience the local hotel, mm-hmm. the local restaurants, and the local food, and then come back and kind of close the night out with us. But I know that's been a question that a lot mm-hmm. of folks have asked.
Well, at the Hyatt on Main Street in Greenville, there are some truly spectacular restaurants mm-hmm. mere steps from the front door of that place. The stuff we didn't get to, there's achievement awards. There's more sessions still at the annual meeting. Find it all on the website. And those of you who want to learn more about Small City Summit, stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.